This is Palm Sunday. This is a wonderful event. This is a triumphant entry of Jesus into the holy city. The day of the holy God was going to enter the holy city for the last time had come. It had been prophesied hundreds of years earlier that the prophets Isaiah and Zechariah read in their passage that this day was going to come about. I'd like to have been there to witness that. Can you imagine the day that Jesus came in Jerusalem? The reason why it was Palm Sunday, they took all the palms from the trees and they laid them on the road. And he came and he marched and they're crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Man, the celebration, the whole town gets into it. The world is awakened. Jesus is there, the holy God in the holy city for the last time, but it was a big time. He was there to do a great work and all the heavens and all the earth were celebrating. I tell you what, I would just like to roll back the scrolls of heaven. And when Jesus walked in that city, watch heaven celebrate. Can you imagine? All the years, all the preparation, all that happened, all the prophets in the old, all there. And now the Messiah is walking into that city to pay the price for the sins of their sins and our sins, to be set free. I can just hear heaven celebrate. I can hear Jerusalem. They say there was around 2 million people in Jerusalem in the city at this time. This was an extra large Passover meal that they were about to have. And so I want to pray that we can understand how the celebration came. I want to read in Matthew chapter 21, in 21 verse 4. Let's read together. Take a moment, get your Bible, Matthew 21 verse 4. He says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, those prophets was Isaiah and Zechariah. They prophesied years earlier that Jesus was going to come into this city. It says, tell the daughters of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and set upon an ass, and a colt, and the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. He brought the ass and the colt and put on their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and he strawed it through the way. And the multitude that went before him followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Man, I'd love to have been in that crowd that day and just cry, Hosanna to the Lord the highest. Here he come, so humbly on a donkey, riding into that beautiful, wonderful city, the city of God, the city of where God had done his great works forever. It said, then when he come in Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? The whole city. Let me share this with you. Whenever you have a whole city asking the same question, that's a big event. I've never heard of a whole city asking that question, who is this? But I've never heard of a whole world talking about a virus either. I've never heard about that. This whole world is now speaking together about that subject. But this day, all of Jerusalem was asking, who is he? And the multitude saying, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. And Jesus went in the temple of God and cast out all these that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now this is the second time Jesus purged this temple from that. Earlier, years earlier, he came to the temple in Jerusalem, and he purged it then, but this is the second time. And let me share this with you. This meek and mild, humbled man, who was going to take a whooping that beat him beyond recognition, who was going to hang on a cross and never say one thing bad. But that day, years earlier, and this day, he walked into that temple, and there they were. They had their doves, they had their tables, and he walked in. Can you imagine somebody walking in and just taking all the tables and turning them upside down, throwing them everywhere? I mean, he was a wild man in that place. But how could he be so wild there and so mild on the cross? Well, the difference is, Jesus always took a stand for the kingdom. But when they attacked him personally, he took it. But the kingdom of God, he stood. He would not let people disgrace the God of the world. When they took down the kingdom, Jesus became righteous anger. And he turned it upside down. And in just a few hours, they're going to beat him. And he never said a word. Think about the transition. But Jesus walked into this holy city. And there he walked into the temple and disrupted it and turned it upside down. He said he brought the temple over the tables, the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. Then he looked at those religious people of the day. And he called it out what it was. Just thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Once he purged it, miracles come back. A couple of things I want to say about that celebration as we get into that. I said earlier there was probably about 2 million people came to that Passover. The Passover was back in Moses' day, whenever when the plagues came to Pharaoh in Egypt, and all the believers in Christ had the blood put over their doorposts, and their lives were protected. All that weren't there, all of Pharaoh's army, all of the children, they lost their firstborn, and there was cries that day. And to this day, the Jews still honor that Passover meal. They haven't forgotten how God spared them back in the days of Moses. They still honor that as a big day in Israel to this day. But this day, Jesus is going to transfer that Passover meal to our communion, our Lord's Supper, for us as believers. We now have communion in the place of that Passover. But Jesus was there. Now, the crowd consisted of the Jews who lived in Jerusalem. But today, there was a big crowd from Galilee. Because Jesus coming in from Galilee, mentioned here. And so all of Galilee came down. And plus, there was the third body there. There was a third body that seen Lazarus raised from the dead just a week earlier. And the whole town was talking about that. So everybody was talking about Lazarus being raised from the dead and what Jesus' miracle was done there. And so there was three crowds came together of interest, and there they were in that holy city. It was a triumphant entry. Man, they were praising him, Hosanna. Truly was there in a very special way. But man, his exit was pretty neat. His exit was going to be resurrection from the dead. And by that, on that Sunday morning, the resurrection of the dead. Pretty neat exit. And then 40 days later, as he hangs around here on earth to affirm with his disciples and to help the disciples in a wonderful way and to minister to them, to get them in gear, 40 days later, he's going to ascend. Can you imagine that? All the disciples there, and Jesus just ascends and goes back to the Father. He has two great exits coming up here. It was a wonderful time. But as we continue to study the scriptures, we can see that Jesus ended up with a very bad week. You ever have a good week that ends up bad? Say yeah. You ever a week that just starts off, man, this is great. I can't beat it, man. And then by something happens and all of a sudden the wheels fall off. Well, in this week, it's going to be a tough story. He's going to be tried several times in front of judges. One time he goes in front of Barabbas, Pilate. Pilate couldn't see no wrong in him. But he had a prisoner there, Barabbas, who was a mean man, who deserved to die. And they had a custom back in those days. They could release one for the choice of the people for another. And so Pilate brought up Barabbas. He says, who will we release today, Barabbas or Jesus? And when it came to Jesus, they hollered, crucify him, crucify him. From Hosanna to crucify in a matter of days. What a change of events. How radical could it be? From being the God that the whole world is praising and continue to crucify him and say that. What brought about the change? How did that happen? It happened in the temple. I want you to get this. The conflict of relationship over religion. In that temple, it was full of religious people selling these sacrifices, these doves or the sheep, whatever the animal they were selling, and they jacked the price up. Religion is all about our pockets. Relationships, all about our hearts. And so when Jesus come into town that day, he come in to build relationships. Let me share this with you. Religion will always muddy the water. Religion is a horrible thing because it's all about us. Jesus come to build relationships. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. And when Jesus come in there and he seen the religious people taking advantage of those people who needed help, it just turned it upside down for him and they could see the difference. There was Jesus that they called God who was loving people by relationships. And there was the religious people who were making money off of people to line their pockets. I want to share this with you. God loves us, and I'm asking you today, as you're watching this, are you a believer? I'm a Baptist from head to toe. You can be Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran. I don't care what denomination you are. But what keeps us strong is our intimate relationship with our Savior who died for us, who gave his life for us. It's nothing but relationship. Don't let anything change you of that. Nobody take you away from God. Never holler, crucify him, because all he wants to do is love us. And his love is free. It's unconditional. He'll forgive us. His blood, the sacrifice, paid for my sins. Man's religion causes us to make personal gains and become self-serving. But the Christ that died on this cross was a loving Savior who cared for us. And those people that he turned their temple upside down was now ready to get even, to take advantage, to take the moment and kill him. I want to share this with you. Nobody killed Jesus. He gave his life. He sacrificed his life. He could have called the 10,000 angels that we sing about. They're in the garden. He could have said, no, Father, I can't do that. But he said, Lord God, may thy will be done in my mind. In the garden is when the battle was won. And so there in that process of all that was going on in his life, there was this head-on collision between relationships and religion. Man's views are God's ways. And Jesus was there to do work in that relationship. Religion in verse 12, and Jesus went to the temple of God. He cast them all out and he called them thieves. He cleansed the temple. This humble Savior who would die on a cross and be a suffering lamb stood for the kingdom that day. And that lamb was going to be slaughtered on the cross. I want to ask you today, how much do we love Jesus? Are we willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God? Are we willing to just commit to him, pray for him, to be light and salt? Who are you praying for this Easter? Who are you asking for God to change their lives? Who are you seeing? Who are you witnessing to? People who are lost and apart from Christ. See, it's not just be getting over this virus so we can get back. It's walking with God wherever we are so we'll be always powerful in what we do. And so Jesus is here to make a difference in our lives. The religious people would just have personal gains, but Jesus come and to straighten that out. And then in verse 14, he says, and the blind and the lame came to the temple and he healed them. I'll tell you what. This Jesus that came in with Hosanna and turned the tables upside down, he'd run the religious people off. Then here come the broken people. Here come the needy people. And the Bible says, the blind and the lame came in the temple and healed them. What a Savior. What a God. All the difference it makes into their lives. They were worshiping God that day. But let me help you remind you of something that's real important for us. Where is the temple today? Is it right here at this address? Or is it right here in this heart? The Bible teaches us very plainly in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now this is our part of the story today. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not on your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. In those days, the shining glory of God dwelt in the temple. That's the reason why they went to the temple to worship, because that's where God was, in that temple. His presence was there. The high priest, the sins were forgiven. It was a wonderful event. But today, because of the cross, the temple of God is in our hearts. He lives in me. He lives through me. The Bible says, not that you know that the temple of God, which is in you, which ye have the God, which you have your own, the temple of the Holy Spirit of Christ. If you're here, and you're worshiping today, wherever you may be, do you understand that the Holy Spirit of God, Emmanuel, lives within us? The power of God shows through us? And do you know if we don't keep our temple clean, what did God do in the temple that day? He purged it. And what will happen when our temple becomes unholy? He knows how to discipline. He knows how to bring it back. He is a good God. He's a God of good things. But I will tell you something. He will not let his children just go astray, because we are the temple of God, and God wants his temple in good shape. He wants his temple praising Hosanna. Never crucify him. And we are the temple of God today. That is the Holy Week. That is the Passion Week. That is the present hour that we live in today. The body is the temple of God. My body has a problem. It has a fleshly appetite. I came in here this morning and somebody had some chocolate on that front pew. I'm thinking about preaching, but when I seen that chocolate, man, I just had to stop and get me a Snickers. My body has a fleshly appetite. Say amen. You out there, say amen. I won't hear you, but say amen anyway, all right? Thank you. That was from Gus. I never thought I'd hear Gus say it. Thank you, Gus. It was a great day. Amen in the world. All right? Thank you, Gus. But let me tell you something. My body has an earthly appetite. It's a fleshly appetite. I can be tempted by my eye. I can see something beautiful walk in front of me, and all of a sudden I just want it. I can become greedy so quick. I can change my attitude so quick. I can forget about God so quick. I can just lose myself in the arena of fear and wonder where God is and become upset with God. My body is fleshy, and I need to keep it under bay. I need to keep it strong in the power of His might. I have to learn how to do that. And let me tell you something, First Baptist, pay attention, because in this time of worship, There is a strength in this room with unity. There is a power in this room when we all come together as God's children. And it may not be as strong as it is in your house, but God is as strong as He's ever been in your house. And you better be looking at your temple. Here's why. Because this is the Holy Week. And here on this Passionate Sunday, we can say Hosanna. But before the week's over with, our actions may be crucify Him. Our actions may reject Him. Our actions may forget Him. Let me share this with you. My grandfather was an old Baptist preacher. He came to Kathy and I's wedding 50 years ago. And he sat down with me. He says, "Now, Ronnie, you're getting married. You can do a lot of wrong things in this marriage, but don't you ever ignore your wife. That'll get you in trouble." Well, my grandfather knew exactly what he was talking about. I can do a lot of dumb things, but if I ever ignore my wife, that's the dumbest. And if you can ever ignore your God because you're so busy in your flesh, that must hurt Him bad. It's so easy to ignore Him. Let me just share with you. My family is celebrating. Saturday, Tanya called. She's finished with chemo. She's done with that. And we just stood there and cried together. Thank God. How can I forget Him? How can I ever get too busy to lose Him? How can I let Satan take me far away from Him when He's so powerful in our lives? And He's great things working in your life. He's there Emmanuel, God with us, His presence, His love. And we are the temple of Christ. And the way people will find God is through the temple, and through our love, and through our light, and through our words. And if you're not careful, you'll go this whole week, this Holy Week, this Passion Week, and forget about God. And that's going to be the biggest sin we can have in our fleshly body. Forget about the God who gave us the body. Forget about the God who heals. Forget about the God who changes. Get so busy worrying and so busy trying to stay away from stuff or do stuff, we forget about the God who resurrects on Sunday morning. Because we are the temple of God. In this story of the temple of God, let me give you a couple things. And I want to help you to understand this week. It's so easy to ignore God. It's so easy to forget Him. So let me give you some help that may help us to change our week. It's right here in our text. In our text, Jesus, the next morning when He gets up, He's walking into Bethany and He comes into this, and there's a fig tree. He was hungry, so He went up to the fig tree to get some figs. There's no figs on it. Now, I don't see Jesus like this, but He got ticked off and cursed that tree. And that tree died that day. The disciples said, man, He cursed that tree from the ground up. And that tree died. And they were amazed. I'll tell you what, I think it's this. God, we're the temple of God. He wants some fruit in our lives. Amen? Aren't we supposed to produce fruit? And if you don't produce fruit, it does tick Him off. Say amen. See the story here? That's what the story is within the story. He needed fruit. There was no fruit. We're the fruit. And may it come out of the vine. And so there was no fruit. And then all of a sudden, it says in verse 20, so when the disciples saw, they marveled, saying, how soon this fig tree withered away? It just went away, just like that. Then in verse 21, get this. Jesus answered and said to them, verily I say to you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto the mountains, be thou removed, and thou shalt cast into the sea, it shall be done. I want your faith to be so strong, I don't care what hell throws at us, our God wins. I don't care how bad it looks, our God wins. I don't care what the diagnosis is, our God wins. I don't care how sad it may come, and we've all been in sad moments and broken parts of our lives, but God is always there with us. He said, just keep your faith. He said, say unto thee, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall only see this, do this with the fig tree, but also you shall say to the mountain, be removed, and thou shalt cast in the sea. It's done. He removed the mountains in my life, and He's taken a lot of mountains out of my life. There's been many mountains I've climbed that I need to be on. There's been many mountains I need to get away from my life, and God has removed those mountains from me. He'll remove your mountains if you can just keep your faith in a storm. And let me ask you something. If your faith doesn't work in a storm, what good is it when the sun's shining? Man, God works all the time. He says, don't ever lose your faith. I don't care who says what and how they say it. My God reigns. My God is victorious. And then He says this next verse. In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Keep praying. I pray on this Holy Week that the family of First Baptist Church will pray on purpose every morning. I don't know what your routine is, but it's totally changed. It's totally changed. Why don't you wake up with a prayer time? Why don't you have a devotion this week? If you have it, have another one. Make it a Holy Week. Purge our temple. God, cleanse us. Forgive us of our sins. Our sins of doubt, our sins of gratitude and attitude that just changes our lives. Our God wants to be glorified. And I pray this Holy Week will be special to you because on Sunday we're going to celebrate the resurrection. This is a Holy Week. I want to ask you, could you pray for forgiveness of your sins? Could you pray for the words you've said, the things you've felt, the fears that own you? God, free me. God, help me to keep my faith strong. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I pray this message. I pray that your Bible study, I pray that your classes, you come together, your study will make your faith strong. Remember, verily I say to you, if you have faith and doubt not, you'll be able to see such more. Let me ask you, what mountain? Maybe it's a relationship in your life. Maybe it's finances in your life. Maybe it's illness in your life. What mountain are you looking at today? What mountain are you standing at? Last April, we looked at a mountain with cancer. And this April, we look at victory in Jesus. I want you to see that. What mountain does God need to remove so you can have a temple that glorifies Him in the world we live in today? That they can see God in our lives. And we will pray. We will pray regularly. Let me give you a Psalms to read. I'd like for you to read the Psalms every day this week. I want to read some of it to you today in Psalms 103. Specifically, Psalms 103. A good lesson of praise throughout the week and the Holy Week. I want to read verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Why don't we get up and read that verse in the morning? Get up when you don't even feel good yet. Just bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, all that He does. The air that I breathe, the appetite that I have for my breakfast comes from God. Everything I have, the shoes on my feet, the love that I have, my family. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for all the benefits that I have in the kingdom of God. Now, Christian, think about our Holy Week, but think about those around us who are not having a Holy Week. Think about those who are living in fear and don't have a Savior. They don't have a healer. They don't have a God who knows the love of Christ into their own hearts. Pray for them, God of my soul. And then, in verse 3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Who forgives all my iniquities and heals all of our diseases. And across this world today, we've got one of those things that we've never seen before. We need to pray for God to eradicate that thing, however He chooses to do it. We need to eradicate those people in those other lands. I just know how they live in Africa, and I can imagine. We're fighting all this means and we have in America to get all the best equipment. But can you imagine when that goes through those lands that have nothing, what it will do in ravishing it? They don't even have electricity. Don't have clean water. What it'll do to them? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all of our diseases? Let's just pray for God to heal this disease. Let's pray for God to heal those who are sick. And those that will become sick, that God will heal them. And then He says, and who redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who satisfy my mouth with good things. You know what He does? He changes your words. He changes your vocabularies. He changed your mouth with good words. Does all of that. All the benefits of God. So let me encourage you, Psalms 103 this week. Take it. Read it daily. Meditate on it. You know why? This is a holy week. Find something. Find someone. You know, I'm a guy who is a people guy. And my hands are tied. My hands are actually tied. I want to walk up and just say hello and shake your hand, but my hands are tied, and so is yours. But my mouth's not. My mouth's not tied. And maybe you're one that don't use your mouth very much. Well, may God give you good words to use it this week. May it be a holy week. May it be a passionate week. And God cleanse our temple. Because between now and next week, I want to say Hosanna every day. No matter what may happen, I want to say Hosanna every day. Think about the Christians that will falter in a Passion Week, in a Holy Week. We're not alone. We have a Savior. His name is Jesus. He's in Jerusalem on this week. He's going to go to a cross this week. He's going to wash the feet of his disciples this week. He's going to be betrayed by one of his. But he makes it through it with victory. So what's going to happen in your week? I want you to remember Jesus. May the power of the temple in your heart never be overcome by the doubts and the evil and the fears of our world. Because there's a God who knows my name and can eradicate disease, hear prayers, move mountains, cleanse temples. That's our God. And may this be a holy week. I wish you were here. I would just love to just see you here. I know you just love to be here, and I know you're not, and I know it seems unfair, but I know God is fair. I know God will work it out in your life, but you've got to pay more attention than normal. We don't have this unity and collection together. You've got to be paying attention. You got to be careful. All you do is listen to the news. I don't care what's on the news. You will literally be messed up for the week's over with. Read your Bible. Talk to people. Write cards, write letters, pray, build your faith, and may this week get us through this so we can celebrate Easter in a powerful way. I encourage you. I don't know what it's like in your house, but I pray God will cleanse your temple in your house. I pray your temple will be a temple of God this week, that your children will see it, that your parents will see it. And if you're a single person, a loved one will see it, because the temple needs to be clean. Because when God walked in the temple and it wasn't, he purged it. And he wants our temple clean today. Amen? Can you see why they crucified him? Because it was all about religion and not relationships. And I want you to have a relationship with Jesus to change your life. Let me encourage you right now where you are in your house. Think about somebody that you need to pray for and maybe call. You know, the phone is still powerful. Why don't you call them and talk to them? Maybe there's somebody that you've been angry at or angry at you. It's a safe distance on a phone. Maybe heal a brokenness. Maybe there's a mountain in your life and you just need to pray, God, give me faith to climb that mountain today. Maybe you're scared to death. Maybe there's a loved one in the hospital and you can't even get there. Maybe you just lost a loved one this week and you can't even be mourning and grieving with family and you're so lonely and broken. I have no idea how to deal with that. But I know God does. I know God knows your name and God wants to be right there in your temple and making it whole and making it strong and moving mountains. I want you to pray to heal our diseases, to list our benefits and name them one by one. I want God to do a work in your house, in your heart, so this Easter can be all that it's supposed to be, God's way. That'll happen. And if you're here today and you've never been saved, I'm going to encourage you to ask Jesus to be part of your life. I can't save you. Nobody can save you, but God can. The Bible says the man believe in his heart and confess with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou shalt be saved. If you believe that today, that Jesus rose from the dead, if you have enough faith to believe that, you'd be willing to confess that with your mouth. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. I'm going to pray it slowly for you. You repeat it. I can't pray for you, but I can help you pray yours. You make this prayer your prayer and let God do a work so that you'll know in this Holy Week the temple has been cleansed. The temple has been made as white as snow. May that happen right now for you. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I ask you to help me. I have a lot of problems. I have a lot of sins. And I need help. Father, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose from the dead. And God, I know that I want to be one of your children. I ask you to come into my heart. Save me. Cleanse me. And use me. Help me to believe more. Help me to follow you in a special way. I pray for you that are Christians this morning. May you pray this prayer. Father, take my temple. Cleanse it. Purge it. May it be holy as you are holy. May it be cleared and cleaned by the power of your forgiveness. Father, help me to help others. Help me to move mountains in my life. Help me to keep my faith strong. Oh God, bless me as I bless you. God, your tender mercies, your thoughtfulness, it means everything to me. And help me tell others. Let me write somebody. Let me call someone and share the love of Christ any way we can. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. If you prayed those prayers, you've worshiped, we're going to come and sing an invitation. As we sing this invitation, I'd like for you to just say, hey, make this my prayer. Make this my life and change it just for you. May you make that decision. May you nail it. And may it be real. And may your temple be purged in a very special way. Let's sing this together. You probably know this song. Feel comfortable at home to sing it. Enjoy it. Baptist Church. Tonight at 6:04, preach a message. I hope you tune in. Title of it, A Prepared Christian in an Unprepared World. We're there. We need prepared Christians in an unprepared world. Tune in tonight at 6:04. Invite someone to listen with you. Let's worship together. We're going to begin a broadcast out on Wednesday nights, and we'll be able to share into your house. I'll be preaching messages on Wednesdays. We're working on that right now. Is it going to be at 7 o'clock, Roxanne? What time did we...
We did, that'll work. Okay, we have that, and then we have a Zoom prayer meeting at 8 that people can be a part of.
So there's going to be a Zoom prayer meeting at 8. I'll be on at 7 o'clock on Facebook and be sharing some encouraging words on this Holy Week at 7 o'clock. So tune in. Remember those. Invite people to listen, to become a part of church somewhere. And may God bless you. Have a Holy Week, and may Hosanna be on your lips all week long. God bless you, and thank you.